You know, it's funny how things that you have zero interest in all of a sudden become the thing that you absolutely need when it becomes exclusive, where it becomes hard to get, you know?
That's the thing, tapping into that human emotion, right? I gotta have that thing, the envy of it, the fear of missing out, yes.
I'm so annoyed with myself right now for two massively different reasons.
Okay.
It's Anna and Raven. The first is, if you haven't heard about it yet, it's called the Clubhouse Chat Room. It's called Clubhouse. It's the app. And from what I understand, it's like radio through an app. You can have your own podcast. It's interactive. But the thing is that it's invitation only. So you have to get an invitation only through text from somebody that's already on it to be able to get into this. It's like a new social networking app.
I mean, it seems to me you're working enough. Why do you really want to take part?
Well, because I didn't. I 100% had zero interest in this thing.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden I found out it's invitation only. And then I had somebody reach out to me and say, listen, I've got one extra invitation. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah, can you please send it to me?
Because it's only one.
Right.
It's the last one.
And it's been 24 hours now and she hasn't sent it to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, should I like email her back and be like, hey, did you remember? Can I still have it? And between that and the Peloton treadmill, which has been pushed back all the way to the end of May at this point.
I mean, I've heard more about it from you than I have seen on television with advertising.
Because they don't need to advertise. It's all that's the thing about being exclusive is that it's all word of mouth.
Well, I mean, why don't you think back to the things that have fooled you before into thinking they were exclusive and you had to have them so bad. And then when you got it, it was not such a big deal because there have to be things like that.
Right. I know. But I can't think of any right now because I feel like everything that I've really wanted lived up to the hype.
You stand in line in freezing cold temperatures for 3 or 4 hours to buy a video game system. You'll know that wasn't worth it. Just come back in 2 weeks. They'll have plenty for everybody. Even if the game system is great, it's not worth it.
I waited in line for 6 hours at Epcot so that my daughter, my oldest, but she was little at the time, could meet Elsa and Anna.
I remember you jogged there at the opening bell of the park and stood there half the day.
Yeah, I did. And you want to know what? It was worth it to see that look on her face. I believe I cried.
As I recall, you told me you were moved by it, but she was kind of like, all right.
Right. Well, she's like, mommy waited 6 hours in line. Big deal, you know? But even like that dating site, Raya, remember that one?
The celebrity thing, right?
Yeah. Like there was all of a sudden there was rumors that there's this app that's a dating app that it's like celebrities are on it, but you have to be very exclusive to get on it. All of a sudden it's the one everybody wanted.
By exclusive, I think that meant rich and really, really, really good looking.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that is so exclusive that you want it?
Well, I mean, you know, when you're growing up, I think as any teenage, you know, kid probably wants a fast or a flashy car or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, I was DJing at a club local and the club owner bought himself a salmon colored Lamborghini.
Okay.
And I thought that that was the most awesome thing ever. It was like the first Lamborghini I had seen in person.
I think Mary Kay people get those too.
That wasn't like at a car show, right? And it was like, yeah, it was like sherbet colored. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he took me in a ride for it. And you know, when I got out after, you know what I was thinking? It's fast, but it ain't worth it.
Mm.
First off, no leg room, no trunk space.
Okay.
It was a convertible. I mean, you're only driving that thing in certain areas a couple months out of the year. And if you ran over a pothole, you felt it for like 5 minutes.
You know what I think, Raven? I think a big part of everybody wanting the vaccine is that it's exclusive.
Right.
You gotta wait in line to get it.
Right. If you get the vaccine, you go to the Super Bowl. You know that old game.
Right. And also, if you have an invitation to Clubhouse, I'd really like it.
Goosefaba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Something that you can do to help relax your soul is this thing called forest bathing. And I know what you're probably thinking. All right, I'm going to go take a bath in the forest. That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's Anna and Raven. It's become like the new thing to do. And there's actually a book about it called Forest Bathing by Dr. Quing Lee. Raven, are you outside the studios right now near the forest or near the trees?
I am in the forest right now. I'm not deep in the forest, but I am in the forest past a pine tree with a solid girth. The branches off of this thing are at least 30 feet each way. So I'm in a forest area.
Okay, great. So if you're not familiar with forest bathing, this will be the first time Raven is doing it. I'm an expert because I did it one time when I went on this weird spa trip with my husband. But it's immersing yourself in nature and connecting to your five senses. Now, normally when you do this, you need 2 hours to do it. But for the sake of radio, we're going to do it in like 3 minutes. Sound good, Raven?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's chilly out here.
Okay, so the thing is that you're not supposed to have your phone or any electronics with you, but we need you to be out there so you can talk us through what you're doing, so we'll let that pass. But if you're doing this, then remember, no electronics, you go directly into the woods, and you have to become one with nature. Now what we're going to do is focus on our five senses. Raven, you need to find a spot.
Okay, find a spot.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to sit right here, I guess, on this stump.
Okay.
On this stump here.
And you're encouraged to walk aimlessly and slowly. So don't feel like you have to walk with purpose. Are you walking with purpose?
I mean, I just chose a spot. I guess I'll start walking.
No. Just you can walk aimlessly. Once you've sat down, you're good. Okay. Now you're going to let your body be your guide. Follow your nose.
Smells like dirt and water a little bit out here. But
okay. That's great.
Literally follow it.
All right, now what we're going to do is we're going to work on our senses. We're forest bathing. Raven is outside the studios in the forest, which is really like a bunch of trees next to a highway, but that's fine. All right, so first things first, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen. What do you hear?
There's a raven close by who just a second ago wouldn't shut up, disrespecting my forest bathing.
But you don't want to tell the raven to shut up. You want to tell the raven to sing his voice and appreciate it. Listen to it.
All right, bro, I appreciate you. Sing your voice.
Now, look. Use your eyes. Look at the different greens of the trees. Look at the sunlight filtering through the branches. What do you see?
Coming warm. It's going to be warmer, hopefully, today, is what I'm seeing. The sun is really just kind of coming through the clouds here.
Now, open your mouth and taste the freshness. Tell me what you taste with your tongue.
I don't know. I mean, it tastes like air. It's like air. I mean, I want to do good for you here while I'm sitting in the middle of the woods here, but it tastes like air.
Now, I want you to place your hands on the trunk of a tree, and I want you to feel, Raven. What does that trunk of the tree feel like?
Oh, it's gritty. It's a little bit moist, but it's strong and solid. It's a tree.
Now you're supposed to lie on the floor. So lie on the floor in the forest.
No, I'm not doing that. It's wet out here. If I lie on the ground a little bit too long, something's going to come over here, and it's not going to be good. It's going to be an animal on me. I don't even know what's in the ground underneath me.
So, Raven, now at this point, it says that you've reached your sixth sense, which is a state of mind, and now you've connected with nature, and you've crossed the bridge to happiness. Do you feel fulfilled at this point?
I mean, I don't know about fulfilled, but my butt is wet from sitting down here. So, I mean, I've got to work the rest of the day. This is going to be an uncomfortable thing when I'm in a chair.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. This is bothering me this morning, and I don't know why, but Tiger Woods was in a serious car crash yesterday morning. He has severe injuries to his leg, but he is out of surgery, and they say that he will be okay. Now, recovery-wise, time will tell. But the LA County Sheriff, he was the first one on the scene, and he had to give a press conference. And I never understand why they have to do this when it comes to celebrities. Like, why do they have to have a press conference with the first cop that shows up on the scene? Like, that guy's just doing his job.
Wow.
You know, well, he's not really trained to give press conferences. But sure enough, he gets up there and he does it. And this is how he starts. And you can tell he's nervous. This isn't what he does.
I made contact with him, and I ensured that he was able to speak to me. At that time, he seemed that as though he was still calm and lucid. I kept Mr. Woods calm until LA County Fire arrived on scene.
Now they open it up.
You can hear the breath in him.
Yes, he's
as he's
nervous.
Doing it. He's like,
this is what he does for a living. Of course.
That guy would be, he would love to be out writing a ticket right now.
Anything else.
Anything else than this.
Press conference.
Right. Digging a trench against a forest fire. Anything. He would love to do anything other than this press conference.
But here comes the all I need to know about you. If you are a member of the press and the media and you're standing there and then you ask this question.
What did you do to keep him calm, Deputy?
What did you do to keep him calm? Now, it sounds like a whatever question, but I think about it. I'm like, this poor guy also went through a traumatic experience right now. He was first on the scene to a terrible car crash, and it's Tiger Woods. Like, you got a lot, like, on your shoulders.
And I'm sure he's seen worse.
Right. So now he comes out of nowhere, and he is collected, this L.A. County Sheriff. And he responds this. But wait till you hear the follow-up question.
I spoke to him. You know, I asked
conversation. Can you share it with us, please?
I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger. And at that moment, I immediately recognized him. I asked him if he knew where he was, what time of day, just to make sure he was oriented.
Can you tell me exactly what you said to him in that moment when you were in peril? Like, get out of here. That's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, but you can't be shocked by this. I mean, there is an unrelenting sense of curiosity. It's the same thing for celebrities, politicians, or whatever. There is no wall now between the media and what the demands of the people want out there in the public as to what the story is. They will do whatever it takes to get the story. I mean, if you look back 4 or 5 decades or whatever it may be,
right,
the way that they covered celebrities, politicians, the White House, for example, any one of those things, completely different than the way that they do these things now. So you got to assume that there's going to be a terrible question. You know, he was lucky nobody was yelling at him.
That's the way
a lot of press conferences work nowadays. But you're right. I mean, obviously, he's not trained for that.
Don't you think that press conferences should have a way to be more organized? Like, when you go to the deli counter, you got to take your number.
A ticket.
Yeah. Like, you get your number coming in, you have your number assigned, you got to wait for your salami in line behind everybody else. I don't understand how those poor people are up there and they're like, okay, yes, you, sir. And everybody just starts screaming and throwing their hands up. Like, what kind of organization is that?
It is kind of ironic that everything else has progressed, but there has been no evolution whatsoever on the press conference, right? You throw up your hands and go, and then you point to the one you want.
Yeah.
And when you're a sheriff's deputy trying to do your first press conference ever, you don't want any of those questions.
And
don't want to point to anybody.
The deli's had it figured out since 1974.
Right.
What piece of technology does your family refuse to use and why? 1-800-330-9999. Dan on Raven.
Anxious knock on my door yesterday afternoon, Anna. Unannounced. You know, we're weird people, I guess, in my house. The first thing that happens when somebody knocks on our door, my wife asks me, are you expecting somebody? Mm-hmm. Or I ask if somebody's expecting them. And then that's it. After that, you know, there's a little bit of panic because once we're both not expecting somebody, it's a total surprise. Turns out it's my grandfather-in-law. Now, my grandfather-in-law is a big character. He knows the waitress's name. He flirts with the male person, all those things. He's just a larger than life personality. But one thing that he doesn't do, Anna, play with technology in his own house.
Okay.
So he won't use the internet. He used to have the internet in the house. Grandma would get on, check out the Facebook, all that stuff. Now she's regulated to do that on her phone because he had one argument with the internet provider, and then he ripped the internet cable off the house.
He, like, literally ripped it off the house?
Literally ripped it off the house, okay. Ran it back out to the telephone pole like a crazy person.
All right.
So whenever he gets excited about something, though, when he wants it, he wants it. Right. So he's impetuous in that way, even though he's 77 years old. So he shows up at the house and he needs something from the internet. It's a CD from a group from 40 years ago that you and I have never heard of before in our lives. And he needs it right now. We've got to order it for him.
What?
He refuses to use the internet. He will not use his credit cards over the internet. But again, when he wants something, he wants something. So it shows, you know, he shows up in the strangest times, and then he needs it delivered directly to his house. And it's got to be there inside of 48 hours. And yet he still refuses to, you know, embrace this type of technology.
I just imagine your grandfather showing up. Raven!
Yeah.
Alicia!
Yeah.
And then he, like, tells you he needs a CD and he hands you $20.
I mean, I'm not sure if you realize this, but if you're still sticking your fingers in your ears and going no, no, no versus the internet, I mean, she essentially has to handle all their stuff.
Yeah.
Healthcare questions, cell phone renewal, anything like that. It is up to my wife to take care of that for her grandparents every single month.
Yeah. No,
every month.
Every time my mom wants to try something new, like a new app or something,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, here we go.
Right.
Because I'm going to have to explain it. Inevitably, she won't understand how to use it.
And you can't explain it over the phone.
No.
No, like, yeah, you have to do it in person. And even still, they might be like, yep, yep, yeah, yep. They're nodding just to get out of the meeting. And then after that, they're back there in 48 hours.
Yesterday, Paul had to go over, my husband, to get her logged in back into her email because I guess she clicked out of the window where it's open.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know how many times that's happened with my grandmother.
Yeah. And then I had to go to cancel her Noom subscription on her phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's some technology. And you want to know what? Like, we're not just saying it's like parents and grandparents, but I don't have Alexa in my house. I've bought like 3 of them and I just keep bringing them here to the studio,
yeah,
to use around here because I don't want them in my house. And it's more a matter of like, it's not that I think that it's spying on me. I just don't feel like learning how to use it.
I told you, you just talk to it.
It seems complicated. And all they do is tell people to listen to Anna and Raven on Alexa.
It's
and
I'm so like, cool. easy.
I'm like, just tell Google on Alexa. I don't know what I'm saying. It's
ironically,
so embarrassing.
I gave my grandfather an Alexa last year at Christmas, and that's when he informed me that he quit the internet.
Oh,
it was the year before last. But when he comes over to our house, all he wants to do is talk to Alexa, and he stands over it, and he talks to it in a booming voice, Alexa! And he's yelling, and he's like loud and over it. But yeah, I don't know.
What piece of technology does your family member refuse to use? And why? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. You know, Raven, I was making fun of my mom that my husband and I always have to go over the house to help her with technology. But I'm not any better. It's Anna and Raven. I have to call my daughter, who's 12 years old, every time that I have a problem on Zoom. I'm like, Hayden, they're saying you have to mute everybody. I can't figure out how to mute everybody.
Right, right. It can be terrifying if you hit the wrong button or something. You know, I'm not great at social media. So if somebody turns on filters, chances are I'm going to be a clown, a cat, a deer, a doe, whatever it is for the next 15, 20 minutes while we chat.
What is the piece of technology does your family member refuse to use? Raven's grandfather showed up on his doorstep yesterday because he needed to order a CD from 40 years ago, and he refuses to use the internet in his own home.
Muddy Waters, Greatest Hits, Volume 1. That's not a lie. Real thing.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the technology that your family member refuses to use?
So I really was excited about getting a Roomba for our house. You know, one of these little robots cruise around and kind of help us out. But my wife refuses to let us get one because she thinks it's going to make us lazy. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
That's how my father felt about leather interiors. He said they would make me soft. It's true. It's a true statement. And it is going to make you lazy, sir.
Oh, man, I hope not. You know, we don't clean anyway, so it's going to be an improvement.
Don't act like you're getting it anyways. Your wife told you it's going to make you guys lazy. You ain't bringing that home.
So funny. I would love a Roomba. It can make me lazy. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What technology does your family refuse to use?
Oh, my God. My father, he refuses to use GPS because he feels like he can figure out the road better than that, and I quote, the robot in the car.
It's true. The robot is in the car telling you where to go. And do you really need people to tell you to where to go when you're an adult?
I remember every place that I drive. I feel like as an adult, if you drive to a place twice, you got to remember how to get back there. If not, you don't really deserve to drive home. You don't deserve to return to your house.
I rely so much on GPS at this point that I'm so absent-minded just following what they tell me to do, honestly.
You could drive right off a cliff.
Like when I was younger, before we had GPS, I could get anywhere. Anywhere.
Yep.
But now I don't think I could do it anymore.
The robot in the sky made you dumb. Thanks for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What technology does your family refuse to use?
Venmo. My parents refuse to use Venmo because they think that the banks are just stealing everything about them, their identity, the social security, just from sending like $20.
Well, here's the thing. Venmo is attached to your bank. So they're not stealing from you. That's how you get your money out. They don't get that concept, though.
Try to explain that to
right.
your parents.
I mean, the money doesn't move without the rounding number and the account number. I'm sorry. It's on your check.
I won a pool, like a Super Bowl, one of the box pools. It was one of my family members, an older family member that was running it. And I'm like, oh, you could just Venmo me the money. And he was just like, what?
Right.
I go,
stopped
Venmo.
Everything.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. I go, well, you could use PayPal. And he's like, no.
Shut down everything at that point.
He's like, no, how about we just meet and I'll give you the cash. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Whatever ends up with me getting my money, right?
Raven had one of those bumper stickers on his car that said, if my dog doesn't like you, neither do I. It's Anna and Raven.
Because that's really how I live my life.
Well, a lot of people do. It's not the first time you've heard that dogs are good judges of character. Now, the question is, do you think that's actually true? Actress Shailene Woodley and Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers are engaged. And she knew he was the one. This is why.
When I first met him, my dog like pulled me aside and was like, if you don't date this dude, I will disown you as my mother. Like the 3 feet that I run with you when you throw a ball is nothing compared to the marathon I'm able to run with him.
Her dog liked him. She was like, yeah, I got to go out with you. My dog likes you.
Ironically, that's his latest State Farm commercial, I believe, too, with the dog. Right? Really? He throws the ball super far, and the dog's like, no, I'm going to sit this one out.
So obviously, you believe it if you put that bumper sticker on your car. You really think that your dog can tell the difference between a good guy and a bad guy?
Absolutely. Well, first, I have two dogs, right? And the little one, as I've told you, he has a streak of murderous rage inside him already. He's really a survivor. This is what my dog whisperer told me. Mm-hmm. So he'll go with anybody that will feed him and pet him. Yeah. So at first, he'll be standoffish with you. But if you pick him up and pet him, he'll go right with you. Barkley, on the other hand, is very territorial. It's me and my wife, and then it's him. And then he looks at Baxter as the plan B with that.
Yeah.
So if you come in the house, he gives you the immediate sniff down and check out. He might want you to pet him. But if he's growling, telling you he's going to bite you, he's still got his questions.
But do you think that they can actually judge if a person is good or bad?
I'm just going to say this. If Barkley's got questions, I've got questions.
Okay. All right. I was thinking about this because everyone always says your dog is a good judge of character. Lila Bear, my princess girl, my puppy, my rescue.
I know you're going to say something terrible about her right now because you're setting it up all soft. That's what you do, Anna.
Well, after observing for a couple years, you know, I think Lila has daddy issues. So here's, Lila is a rescue. And the story that we got from the rescue was that when she was found with her litter mates, they were literally left out in a bucket to drown during a hurricane. And, like, it's
awful. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah, but here's what I've noticed over the years. My girlfriends will come over with their husbands, right? And my girlfriends are animal people. They love puppies, and they love Lila, even though she's an incredible, fearful dog. She really is a special needs dog. And they will try to play with her. They will try to engage with her. Lila is running and hiding under the bed and trying to get away. But then all of a sudden, there are their husbands sitting on the couch watching football, paying no attention, have no interest in the dog whatsoever.
Yeah.
And she rolls up on them with her nose and she's like this. Like she's got her nose on them.
Nobody
she's
can hear that. You're just scraping your nose.
On the microphone. She's trying to like roll up on these guys. And I go, they're not good guys. What? They don't want to play with you.
What do you mean? Your friend's husbands are not good guys?
No, I'm just saying they have no interest in you. They don't want to play with you. They're ignoring you. They're kind of shushing you away. And I go, she's got daddy issues.
Because she cowers from your husband, right? Even though he's never been mean to her.
Yeah.
He did want a huge, muscular dog instead.
Yes. He was not happy with us getting Lila.
I feel like Lila knows that and has heard him say this. And so now she's looking for daddy issues?
That's what I think.
She's looking for another daddy.
I just think that dogs are not necessarily a good judge of character. I'm just saying it's just like humans, the way they were raised, and maybe that's what it really comes down to.
So they're clinging, looking for a little bit of a strength connection around them right now. You know, they say the same rumor about exotic dancers.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't make it up, and I haven't seen that bumper sticker.
Right. That's not a bumper sticker. Nope. Do you think it's great or is it awkward when a restaurant chef visits your table to see how everything is during a meal? The actual chef.
Ooh.
It's Anna and Raven. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. You know, Raven, my dad is a chef. So I always thought that this was interesting because I've been in the restaurant business since I was born. My parents have been doing this their whole lives.
Sure.
And I always notice that there's two different kinds of people. There's the kind of people that they like that they know the owner.
Sure.
And the chef comes out.
Well, they
and
feel like
says,
they're
hello.
In.
Yeah.
Right. They feel like they're in. They're in the back room area there, right? They've got a connection and a favoritism.
Right. And my dad is like, he's a hardcore Italian guy. He grew up in Italy. So, like, he doesn't have, like, that tact, that suave, like, when he rolls in on a table.
He'll have a conversation with anybody.
He'll talk to anybody.
Right.
But he's not the guy that comes out to the table
and schmoozes you.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. The only times I've ever seen my father come out of the kitchen, it hasn't been good.
Right.
You know,
somebody's in trouble.
Somebody did something. a customer stepped out of line and he was throwing him out of the restaurant.
They had to be removed.
Oh, I'll never forget the Buffalo Mozzarella guy. The Buffalo Mozzarella guy. At one point, Alitalia used to bring Buffalo Mozzarella from Italy and we would get it directly from the flight.
Directly from there.
There was this one guy who thought he was a Buffalo Mozzarella expert. One day he sent back the Buffalo Mozzarella three times.
Oh my gosh.
And all I could think about was like, and I remember working there being like, oh, daddy's going to get so mad.
Right, right. Daddy's the first time it came back, you were like, what? Second time came back, you were like, oh no. Third time you were like, just everybody get out of the way.
Exactly. He came from back out the kitchen. He had his full chef gear on, his big chef hat
sauce on the apron. Get out.
I mean, he yelled from behind the register into the dining room, you over here. And that was it. And I'll never forget it. But I think that you see a lot of this more than ever, where chefs want to create that bond with the patron.
Well, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
But as somebody that's sitting at a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And the chef comes to my table, I'm not going to tell them honestly what I think, because it's a lot of pressure and it's awkward. And it's like, to have that conversation to me feels very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, they're meeting somebody, right? And so just, I mean, human nature in general, if you're saying something bad about somebody in one room, right? And then you walk into the other room and that same person is there, what are you going to say to them? You're hardly ever going to say the same thing. So it does create that human element where confrontation is not in most of our plans for the day or that evening, especially when you're out eating. It is a smart business move in the fact that build relationships.
Yeah.
I look at you, you look at me, we introduce each other. If you had a problem with your meal, your tendency is not to blow me up on Yelp now. It's just to say to me in suggestive way after. And you might not even send it back. You're going to give me more leeway. So at the table, when they come up and they ask, how is everything? This is the chef. It is a little bit weird.
But maybe you love it, because there's certainly people that absolutely love that connection that, the, you know, this
I
person,
know them.
They made my meal.
Right.
They're coming to make sure that I like it. They want to guarantee my satisfaction. And I understand that, too.
They can become your salespeople on top of it. Have you been over there? I know the chef.
Right.
Because people love to name drop and do that thing. Just going to point out the fact, though, Gwyneth Paltrow, Contagion, chef came out and shook everybody's hand. And we know what happened there.
I never saw that movie. I don't know what happens.
Well, it wasn't great.
Okay.
And it looks very familiar to the last year.
Okay. Five calls says it all. Do you think it's great or awkward when a restaurant chef visits your table to see how everything is during a meal? Tana and Raven. My dad is a chef. I grew up in the restaurant business my whole entire life. And very few times does he just, out of the goodness of his heart, go table to table to check how everything is.
Sure.
But, you know, he'll come out and shake somebody's hand over the counter, at, like, if he knows them or sees somebody he recognizes.
Yeah.
But the other day I was at a restaurant and the chef came out and it was awkward. I think people in general don't like it when the chef does it, because you can't really be open and honest on what you think about their food.
Well, that's...
He's got like that smile. You're like, okay, hi, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's no problem if the food is great. On the other hand, if the food is not great, then that's when it gets a little bit awkward, right? But, you know, nowadays, so much so more than ever, the personal relationship can save you in business.
It definitely can. Yeah, but what do you think about this? Do you think it's awesome or awkward when a restaurant chef visits your table to see how everything is during a meal? Five calls says it all. Hi, Ann on Raven.
I think it's awesome. What person doesn't want someone to show that they appreciate their business coming in?
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Ann on Raven, awesome or awkward?
I'm a 54-year-old male, and I've been to several restaurants, Italian, whatever. I never seen a chef come out unless you complain about it. But the maitre d' does come out and ask you how's your food. But I have never seen a chef in all my years come out and ask me how's the food.
So suffice to say that if one came out and asked you, it would be awkward.
Yeah. I'd be shocked. I'd be like saying it must be a new guy coming as a cook to see how his food is.
Right.
Hi, it's Ann on Raven. Five calls says it all. Do you think it's awkward or awesome when a chef comes to your table?
Awkward, because he's a chef. He should have the confidence to know that he doesn't have to come out and ask, did I do good enough? I mean, he's busy making other meals. He shouldn't have to.
I agree. I think it's putting on a show. Like, when I look at my dad, who obviously I hold in high regard, he's working. He's hustling. He's doing the best he can to make sure that dish is awesome. He ain't got no time to go to table six to make sure that their chicken piccata was good.
And if I just sat down, I'm feeling like the kitchen's closed for the night because the chef's out here. Now the backup's playing. I don't need that backup meal.
Anna and Raven, is it awkward or awesome?
I actually think that it's very professional. I like when they do come out, because actually you know who's actually cooking. And not only that, you get to see the appearance of the chef, and now you feel like home.
What if he's got curly hair and you had found one 10 minutes before on your plate?
And then you know that's the time you don't need to go back again.
Even if we're friends, never see you again.
Five call says it all. Is it awesome or awkward?
It's a little awkward. Like, is he that insecure about his skills?
That seems to be a reoccurring theme.
And am I supposed to shake his hand? Did he wash his hands? Or is he going to wipe them on that rag that he's got on his waist?
You know what I've realized, Raven? All the guys have said it's awkward, but all the women have said it's awesome.
Mars and Venus, different experience, I guess.
I wonder if there's a reason behind that. I wonder if it's just because women think that it's more prestigious when you have like encounters with the owner versus like guys that just don't care. They just want to eat.
Well, you know, to complete that research, you should dedicate yourself, go back to school and spend your next career doing that. But here this morning, you're just going to have to take the phone call tally.
All right. Five calls says it all. Three is the winner with awkward. Two said awesome. So yes, it is awkward when the chef shows up randomly at your table to ask how your meal is. You know, Raven, after you become a parent, you get superpowers. Superpowers that you never thought you would have before. And they're very subtle, so you may not even realize you have them until all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you're like, wait a minute, I can do that now. It's because I'm a parent.
Let's face it. When you have offspring, you give up quite a bit in your life, too. So it's good that you get a little something on the backside. And some of these things you need to insulate you and your family to keep you safe.
It's Anna and Raven. I don't know about that. Like, I can't fly yet. I don't think that's ever actually going to happen.
Still working on that
one? Yeah, yeah. But there's so many little things. Like, I was thinking about it. When I walk into work in the morning, I've got my computer bag. I have my headphones in one hand. I've got my laptop. I've got my regular purse. I've got my water bottle. I've got my lunch. And I carry all these things like it's nothing. And then I go on, to school pickup. I go pick up my daughters. And I can have, Dakota's my two-year-old. I put her on my hip. And I just can carry all these things. I have realized that as a parent, I can now carry more than I have ever been able to carry before. And I think I'm stronger than ever because Dakota is a solid 32 pounds.
I think you left your coffee out of the equation, too.
Yeah, and my coffee.
It is a lot.
Yeah,
right? And turn a key. Like,
yeah.
If you got to walk into a house, I mean, you got the baby on your hip.
Yep.
You don't put them down because they can scamper into the street or something like that.
No.
So you got to pull out the key on top of it and turn the bolt lock and push the door. It's impressive.
So funny you even said that because Dakota's new thing is that the minute I put her down outside, she bolts to the street.
Yeah.
And I think she does it on purpose because my reaction is I immediately freak out. Stop! You know, like I like freak out like a mom. So you cannot put her down. That walk from like the car seat to the front door, she's staying on that hip until we get in the front door.
I would say my superpower is going to be budgeting. Ever since I became a parent, it's like you've got to see things from, you know, like way down the horizon. Wait a minute. We're going to have to pay for this. We're going to have to pay for that. Some of those things are going to come up in a week. Some of those in 3 months. Some of those in 3 years. You know, on top of it, my kid, he always wants like expensive things. Like he was a daredevil. So, you know, if he's not asking his other dad, then it's, bikes or electronics or whatever. I mean, even now as an adult, his Christmas presents, they're not cheap.
Right. It's true. I was thinking about it. One of the other superpowers that I have now is for not only my toddler, but it's also for my tween and for my husband. And I didn't get this power until I became a parent.
Yeah.
Is I can sense when somebody needs a snack. Like I hear it in their voice when they start on the brink of hangry, where they're starting to get crazy.
Right.
And I can almost hear it. And I can immediately jump up and be like, Mommy's going to get you a snack.
Right. You hold your thumb to the wind, check the sun in the sky, and you know.
Yep.
And the snack is already out of your purse and on them.
Right. And it makes everything better. But the one thing that I think has been my superpower, Raven, that I actually has been beneficial to you is that I can feign enthusiasm better than I ever have before in my life.
You're doing that just for me?
I do
show.
It for everybody.
You're not
all
doing
the time.
It for a show.
Well, even for like for Dakota, my toddler, like when she does something, I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
Right.
You did such a good job. And it's a lot like you in the studio. I'm like, Raven, good job, Raven. You did it all by yourself like a big boy.
Guess
wow.
Guess who won't be doing that for you the rest of the week?
I've become a walk-in convenience store, and I think that's a mom superpower, not so much a dad, because my husband doesn't carry anything around like I do.
If I lean over to my wife and ask her for something that may or may not be in any human being's purse across the entire planet, I know that it's in there.
100%.
It's already a given.
Yeah. Tana and Raven, what's your parents' superpower? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven comes up because I carry so many things, and I have computer bag, my purse, my coffee, my water bottle, all these things, and I do it all by holding a 32-pound toddler on my hip, you know? And I've become really good to it, good about it, and thinking, like, this is one of my superpowers now.
Right.
I can carry so many things.
Yes, yes. As a parent, my superpower is that I can fix things. I might not fix things permanently, but I can fix that thing long enough to get us down the road or get 15 minutes more playing time out of it. I can fix things. That's what I do. I'm a fixer.
What is your parent's superpower? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Well, I can make food that looks like cartoon characters now. Like, who would have thought? My kid, he refuses to eat pancakes unless they look just like Mickey Mouse. And I figured out how to make Elmo's face, but out of fruit.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
It's like a Van Gogh.
Right? I got a real future ahead
like
of me.
Like a foghorn, leghorn looking chicken sandwich today. That would be pretty good, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, now I'm starving.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What special skill did you get after you became a parent?
So I can drive my car while also being a garbage collector at the same time.
Oh, that's good.
I guess my arms have like mom flexibility now where I can reach all the way into the back seats and grab like juice boxes or like fruit cups or anything and just pop them into the bag that I have in the front to keep the car clean.
Why do kids always yell, mommy, like when they're done with something? Why can't they just put it down until we're done driving? I'll never understand it.
They know that you will take it from them. They know that it works and they're going to do as much as they can get away with.
I'm done.
I get one of those rubberized floors and I just have them throwing it on the bottom of everything and then spray the car out every week. Like it was a Croc, but with wheels. That would be cool.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your parent's superpower?
My superpower, I can tell the temperature of anyone in my house just by kissing their forehead.
So do you lick the forehead or you touch the forehead? I'm sorry, your phone broke up a little bit there. Is it licking or touching?
Kissing.
Well, oh, that is a good superpower. I wish I had that.
I mean, it's similar to licking, which would have been disgusting, but they are your family after all. It is impressive either way.
Hi, it's Yen on Raven. Good morning.
Well, my dad, he pretty much has something called daddy senses, where he senses whenever me or my brother I was like doing something that's pretty much wrong. He'll just come right away and sees us in the end.
I could hear 3 seconds of silence and know something is up in my house and immediately go investigate.
Somebody's misbehaving.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't mess around. You remember that. You remember that when you decide to do something wrong with your brother or sister, okay?
Okay.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your parents' superpower?
So my wife got super hearing and super sense. She can literally hear one of our babies crying from like a mile away, and she can instantly tell when they soil themselves. Myself, I got super reflexes. The second one of them is about to fall, like I literally grab them like I'm a hog out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most athletic you've been in your entire life.
It's true.
Right? You're like a fighter pilot, really, with your hand-to-eye coordination. It's amazing.
It's so true. It's like when she's about to fall off the couch or she's climbing up on something, I could get over there in like 3 seconds flat.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Joanna and Mike. Joanna, what's going on?
We've been married for a while. We have 3 children, and I think that it's time to have 2 SUVs in our home. I currently have one, and we need 2 cars that are able to carry all of our children. Mike really wants this like sporty sedan that he's been looking for, and he found this used Dodge Charger. Really, really loves it. Really, really wants it. But he needs to have an SUV.
Mike, how are you going to put all 3 kids in the back of a Charger?
Chargers are really big. I don't know if you've seen them. The 3 kids will fit easily, especially if one of them, as they get older, they're going to go in the front seat. It's got 3 seats in the back, got one in the front. I can easily take 3 kids. It's a nice long car, so it has plenty of trunk space. So we've talked about this. We don't have a construction company, so we don't have a ton of stuff. It's like backpacks and whatever's in the back. And because we have the other SUV there, you know, we can flip and flop. So if she wants to take the Charger one day and I got to take the kids to soccer and there's more stuff in the back, I can then take the SUV. So this gives us, instead of 2 SUVs, some options for what we want to drive.
Yeah, but Mike, what about inclement weather here? I mean, Joanna, do you feel comfortable driving a turbocharged V8 because he needs to take the kids somewhere? I mean, you say it, Mike, like it's no big deal, but you and I both know that that's not true. I mean, if you're driving a vehicle that's rear-wheel drive, you're not used to that or whatever. I mean, come on.
You mean to tell me, Mike, that you really believe that you can put 3 children? How many car seats?
There's 2. The one's very close to being done with it, so it's going to be 1, and then we're done.
Well, then you got to put 1 car seat in a booster at that point. So you're still dealing with a lot of real estate. It's really going to fit all in the back of that, and they're going to be comfortable?
Yeah. Well, we also have the front seat. I mean, when all of us are in the car going anywhere, we'll take the SUV if we're going on a road trip. But if it's just me dropping off the kids, if that's the question, can easily fit all of that in the back of the Charger.
Mike, you're putting what you want ahead of what our family needs. And I honestly don't think that's fair. You can't put an 8-year-old in the front seat. First of all, it's not safe.
Right.
And I use the SUV to commute to work every day. So it's not like we can just switch back and forth.
I mean, it's not safe. I don't even think it's legal in most states.
Right. I think 14 is that magic number.
Right.
But we can see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Mike, that you work. And if this is the kind of car you want to have, then the kids got to cram in and deal with it. But they may see Joanna's side, too. It doesn't really make sense for a young family to have a sports car when you need more room right now. And Mike, down the line, you can get whatever you want. But right now, you need to think about getting a bigger car.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how big a Charger's back seat is. You're not putting two car seats back there and a third kid. I'm telling you, it doesn't fit. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Joanna and Mike are having a disagreement because Mike found a used Charger that he wants. They've got three kids.
Sure.
He says it's big. It's his dream car. It's a good deal.
Yeah. At the same time, Joanna says, let's be realistic here. We've got three kids again. We need to make sure that we've got an SUV, both of us, because who knows which car is going to be available when, and our children need to be transported. You know, that's the thing. You know, in certain areas, especially, once you drive an SUV, I don't think you go back with today's SUVs. You just feel safer.
That's
you're up
not
higher.
True.
That's how I feel.
So my husband has to drive an SUV now because we've got the two kids and we need space, right?
Right.
But I promised him, I said, when Dakota gets older, then you can go back to driving a car. Now, am I going to keep that promise? I don't know.
Right.
But
but he might not want one at that point is all I'm saying. He might not. When you made that deal, he probably felt that way, but I don't think he will at that point.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side. I don't think any family needs two SUVs. Think of the environment. Really? Why should you have to tell him what kind of car he's got to drive?
I mean, a muscle car with a V8 is probably actually worse on the environment than the SUV, but thank you for the call.
We appreciate it. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Act like you're saving a polar bear baby with a Dodge Charger. Come on.
It's time for Mike to get a brand new car, and he found the perfect car, his dream car, a used Charger, the right price. His wife, Joanna, says, are you crazy? We have three kids. You're not putting two car seats in the back of that car plus all their sports equipment and backpacks.
Joanna already drives an SUV. This is how they transport the family when they're getting around. Mike says, we can just use that when we need it. But Joanna says, what happens if something goes wrong with that car? Be realistic. We need two vehicles that can transport all our family all the time.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
The wife. I have the exact same situation. Me and my husband, he actually got a Charger. And I had a Dodge Durango, and there was no way the kids were sitting in the car. We have two kids, 3 years old and 4 years old. They're both in car seats. And ultimately, he had to get rid of the car after 6 months and ended up getting a Jeep Wrangler.
I mean, think about how awesome it was, though, every time you guys had a momentous event and he did donuts at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Good.
Like, you know, Brady's Super Bowl victory, the birth of your third child, you know, anything like that to celebrate. Go light him up, Tommy.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. The dad has to suck it up, and he's got to go with a more sporty car, but you know, a better car for the kids. But there's a middle ground position, maybe a sporty station wagon. That's what my wife and I did. We had one SUV. We had one sporty station wagon that was still pretty fast, but it had the three seats in the back that could fold down for more trunk space, or you put them in the back facing rear. The kids love it.
Yeah, I got to be honest, exactly what my husband and I did.
But
yeah.
It was like, remember, what was it? The Magnum,
thank you.
Right? That thing was like a muscle car station wagon. It's not even all that old.
There's so many SUVs now that are so sporty. They're like a good in-between. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I'm on her side. You can't, with the kids, you can't have a Charger. You need, they make awesome SUVs now, and he's just crazy with the booster seat. No way.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Joanna, our audience agreed with you this morning. Mike, you're being selfish. I get it. You want like a sports car. I understand most people want something flashy that they really enjoy driving, but you'll have that, just not right now when you have three small children.
All right. I mean, that's fair.
I'm glad they agreed. It's about the kids at this point. We're not in our early 20s anymore. Like, we're not going for joyrides.
Mike, I get it. You want a toy. You want something fun. You feel like you work hard. It's for you. But give up. Those choices have already been made for you, sir.
Yeah, I had the kids, so I made my bed.
All right, you have a problem, too. Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is
Kelly.
Kelly, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kelly.
All right, Kelly, we have $1,100 on the line. It's a lot of cash, and I want to give it to you today. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I give you 3 seconds for each one. I'll bring Raven back into our studio and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Number one, actress Brooke Shields recently suffered a severely broken leg and has been going through very challenging physical therapy. What 1980 survival drama did she co-star with Christopher Atkins? Time's up. Number two, during Sunday's American Idol episode, one contestant made an impression with her voice that resembled Idol judge Katy Perry. Katy Perry rose to fame in 2008 with what song that has the opening lyrics, "This was never the way I planned, not my intention. I got so brave, drink in hand, lost my discretion."
I kissed the girl.
Number three, Tiger Woods is recovering and will be okay after being in a car crash yesterday and having surgery to repair injuries to his leg. His recent documentary, Tiger, was released on what network?
Netflix.
Number four, Khloe Kardashian sparked engagement rumors with an Instagram post meant to highlight her clothing company's new shoe line. What is the name of Khloe Kardashian's clothing brand?
Dash.
Number five, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren would introduce herself to young female supporters by saying, "I'm running for president because that's what girls do." And then she would seal their bond by doing this. It's also the title of her new children's book. What is it?
I don't know.
All right, Kelly, not so great, but that's okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Kelly only got one right.
Oh, that's not too good, Kelly.
Okay, ready?
That's all I do. It's $1,100. You got a chance, right?
I don't know. All right, number one. Actress Brooke Shields recently suffered a severely broken leg and has been going through very challenging physical therapy.
Yes.
What 1980s survival drama did she co-star with Christopher Atkins?
That's Blue Lagoon, right?
That is correct.
Oh, and she is amazing.
Number two, during Sunday's American Idol episode, one contestant made an impression with her voice that resembled Idol judge Katy Perry.
Okay.
Katy Perry rose to fame in 2008 with what song that has the opening lyrics, "This was never the way I planned, not my intention. I got so brave, drink in hand, lost my discretion."
It's I Kissed a Girl. A lot of people forget she had a full band at that point and was kind of like an alt artist.
That's right. Number three, Tiger Woods is recovering and will be okay after being in a car crash yesterday and having surgery to repair injuries to his leg. His recent documentary, Tiger, was released on what network?
It's HBO, isn't it?
Yes. Number four, Khloe Kardashian sparked engagement rumors with an Instagram post meant to highlight her clothing company's new shoe line. What is the name of Khloe Kardashian's clothing brand?
I'm just going to guess Khloe.
No, it's Good American, and I'm wearing a pair right now. And ladies, if you are curvy or anything like that, check them out because they fit like no other jeans I've ever worn before. And that is my plug to the Kardashians, and I am not paid to say that.
Unfortunately, they won't send you anything for free because they're too good at business.
That's right. All right, number five, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren would introduce herself to young female supporters by saying, "I'm running for president because that's what girls do." Then she would seal their bond by doing this. It's also the title of her new children's book. What is it?
I don't know.
Pinky Promises.
Oh, Pinky Promises. Well, that's
I
good
told
place
you I was
start,
making it hard today. I needed the right person to take him down, but I'm sorry, Kelly. He still ended up beating you 3-1. We're going to hook you up with an Anon Raven t-shirt.
All right, great. This is Kelly, and I can't beat Raven.
All right, thanks, Kelly. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
Put another $100 in the jackpot tomorrow morning. $1,200.